Josh, Sophie, and Hallie St. John, welcome.
Thanks, Julia. Great to be here.
Now, in your musical worlds, it's almost time to rattle the barn. Really briefly, tell us how and why this annual custom came about.
Well, it wasn't a long time ago, but we moved from the suburbs out to the country, and we acquired an old farmhouse and some farmland and a barn. And the barn was very clean and 117 years old. And to make a long story short, a great friend of mine and I had a vision for a barn stage, and we felt like, you know what, if we build it, they will come. So we started to do our family band rehearsals out in the barn, which led to inviting some friends over, and it quickly transitioned into a much larger event where we've packed the barn, and it's called Rattle the Barn.
Rattle the Barn is such a clever event name. How did you come up with it?
Well, our musical friends was in our barn helping us set up some stuff, and when we turned on the speakers, the walls kind of started to rattle a little bit, and it was really funny. We were trying to come up with a hashtag name for it, and he was like, how about we just call it Rattle the Barn?
That's too perfect. And a 117-year-old barn. Sophie, what do you think about just having this in your family?
I just think it's really cool to be able to make music with my family and just, yeah. Just
in that setting.
Yeah.
It's really clean in there.
And it sounds like it's really calling out to have the kind of entertainment that you do there.
Yeah.
So you have your barn. You have your family's homegrown music. Who else is playing at your barn concert?
There is a band coming from Nashville called Lateral Blue. And then Rosalind and the Way from Fort Wayne. Then the legendary Train Hoppers from Fort Wayne.
And what do you all have in common?
We all love music.
Yeah. I think Rosalind and the Way and the Train Hoppers have a bit of some shared passions, both from Fort Wayne, and play the same kind of Americana music. And we struck up a quick friendship here in the last few years.
And we should let our listeners know that you are a member of Rosalind and the Way, as well as your own St. John family band. And it all dovetails very nicely, the music itself. Mm-hmm. So this is a shared experience then on that level.
Yeah, very much. Actually, I would say the circle of each band overlaps a bit with friendships and shared musical passions. And then new this year, as Hallie suggested, Lateral Blue, a progressive bluegrass band from Nashville, Tennessee, is coming up. And we struck a friendship up with this band, actually through some shared experiences in Nashville, and built some relationships. And they are now coming up from Nashville.
I think it's really interesting and certainly a point of Hoosier pride that bluegrass music is so prominent here. Do you feel that because you play the music that you do and have those bonds?
You know, I think there's been a festival in Kendallville for several years, a great festival, an award-winning festival, both Memorial Day and Labor Day. And then south of us, we've got the Bill Monroe Memorial Bluegrass Festival, which is actually the longest continuously running bluegrass festival in the world on property that Bill Monroe, the father of bluegrass, once owned and farmed in his retirement. So yeah, I think when most people think about bluegrass, they think about Kentucky. They think about Tennessee, especially Eastern Kentucky and Eastern Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a strong bluegrass culture here in our neck of the woods as well.
And you guys are helping satisfy people's needs and wants, and I think that you're also making new fans of bluegrass all the time, so congratulations mm-hmm. all the way around. Speaking of the music that you make and how cool it is, I am kind of curious, how did you, as a family, get interested in bluegrass music?
Well, my dad introduced us to bluegrass music and folk music, and then at a young age, we started going to bluegrass festivals, and we just got captivated by the bluegrass music. It's just awesome.
I get it, Sophie. Just stole your hearts. And what made you just have to play it?
Well, like the people that we listen to, we really, really like. And my mandolin heroes, obviously I thought that they were really good, so I wanted to start playing mandolin and be as good as them.
That's that easy. Hallie, I get it. So what do your friends think about your passion for old-timey music instead of whatever's on the pop charts?
Well, they don't listen to the bluegrass music, and I just think the different types of music, it's just, it's different. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's fun to share the music that we love with other people who don't listen to it, because then they can start liking it, and then they'll start playing it, and then more people will play it.
And it is pretty addictive, as you guys found
yeah.
out.
But bluegrass yeah. especially is just fun to play, because you can do a lot with it. You can play bluegrass on lots of instruments. It's just a really fun genre of music to play.
Great point, Hallie. And Josh, you are a founding member of Rosalind in the Way, too. What does the genre hopping do for your performance, do you think?
To be honest, I'm challenged more and more every day, kind of keeping up with my daughters. And I've played much longer than they've been alive, of course. But playing an acoustic instrument and playing the number of notes and at the speed that we play in bluegrass, from a playing standpoint, my chops have developed considerably over the last number of years playing with the girls. So full disclosure, and I apologize to my band members and Rosalind Way that may be listening. I spend the majority of my time practicing for bluegrass music because it's technically more difficult to play than a lot of what we play, at least what my parts that I play in Rosalind Way. They say bluegrass is like the original speed metal. So there you go.
That is a good point. Yes, it is.
A lot of notes, a lot of things happening at a fast pace.
And I don't know, Sophie and Hallie, if you realize how really good you are on your instruments. I think you're very humble, but it certainly helps to have self-assurance. And I know you work real hard at what you do. Are you just determined to be the best? You kind of hit on that subject, Hallie.
Yeah, I try to practice every single day. I mean, just the more you practice, the better you get. And there's lots of just fast picking and chopping, and it's really hard, and you just need to keep practicing with it and stuff.
Okay. And you too can play like Hallie St. John, which is really pretty remarkable. And Sophie, especially as you continue doing such marvelous work on the violin/fiddle, can you feel yourself getting better and stronger? And how does it make you feel?
Yeah, I can feel myself getting better. Everybody wants to get better. And when you just practicing and feeling yourself get better just makes you want to practice more and just, you know, be the best. And listening to other people just inspires me too.
That's a lesson some people never learn their whole lives. I'm glad that you all had run in your family to master the instruments and do that well, and good for you. That's what makes the family band so wonderful. So sharing music, especially barn concerts, is a very, very old-fashioned custom. Why do you think it's such a popular tradition in this high-tech 21st century?
The whole barn aesthetic is different than a theater or where normal music concerts would be. And then the folk music and the bluegrass music is just so different to what is popular now.
So you think that that sort of builds in an instant or an immediate hook, maybe, Sophie, or an attraction?
Yeah, I feel like it hooks other people because of its uniqueness, because it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when you talk about hooking people to this music, it's also really good to just, like, have fun on stage because most people just don't smile, and then it doesn't really make people want to watch you as much. So you just really need to really be happy when you play, and then people will want to listen to you more.
I think you guys are on to something here. It's pretty remarkable. How about Dad?
That's a deep question. I think the family piece resonates with folks. As Sophie touched on, it's not common. It's not something you see very often. I think bluegrass music itself, stripped away from a barn or from a family, there's an authenticity there that resonates with folks. It's an American music rooted in, you know, very traditional kinds of things. You know, as we know, as our world changes and moves forward so quickly, people appreciate recognizing rootsy, whatever it is,
it's
rootsy
everybody's
arts
roots,
and culture.
Yeah.
And this music is very authentic. But I think we're just happy to share it and play it for people, folks that appreciate it.
And great. Mm-hmm. Do you think your own music making can inspire others to maybe even start playing it as well as supporting it?
Yeah, I feel like bluegrass music, it's, in my opinion, it's just really captivating because it's so fast and lots of notes.
The other thing that we haven't touched on too much, too, is singing in harmony. And whether you're singing family harmony or you're singing harmony with friends or you're singing harmony with people you don't know, you know, there's a connection. There's a resonance, a real resonance that you have when you're singing in harmony. In a band of acoustic instruments and you've got four or five instruments that are all different and finding their own space, independent of electronics, independent of amplifiers, it's special. And it's hard to describe, frankly.
It's special to listeners, too. And I certainly understand. And again, preserving it as your family does is really quite commendable. Mm-hmm. And you do have younger children. Might the band increase someday?
Well, we've got Ian, who's 9 and plays the banjo, and he does sit in with us occasionally, also plays the cello. And we just had a baby 5 weeks ago, and his name is Monroe, after the father of bluegrass, Bill Monroe. So I'm not sure that he has a choice on what instrument he'll play or not. He'll have a mandolin in his hand regardless.
That's really great. And again, I think the whole family thing is remarkable, and we thank you for your contribution. And I know you've got a barn concert to get ready for, probably a practice in the loop there somewhere. So last question, what do you think your music and the whole Rattle the Barn experience adds to this area's cultural skyline?
Well, again, the barn. It's really, really cool because not a lot of people have things in barns, and people will love to sit in the barn and watch the music, and especially with the bluegrass folk, it kind of matches the barn theme, and it's just really fun.
You know, bringing the four bands together as we plan to do with a food truck and a 117-year-old barn in the fall is very, very American, very Indiana. And when you get a room full of folks that love music and love each other, it's going to be a special night. So there's a lot going on in northern Indiana, a lot of different choices more than ever before. And we encourage folks to consider coming out to Rattle the Barn this year. And if you can't make it this year, then we will no doubt rattle the barn once again in 2019.
Josh, Sophie, and Hallie St. John are Fort Wayne musicians, collectively known as the St. John Family Band, and hosts of Rattle the Barn. Thank you so much for sharing your story and the music you make. Now we'll get to rattling that barn.
Thanks, Julia.
Thanks so much for having us. Bye.
Such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide.